As I said earlier, our scripture today is the story of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I read it from Matthew partly because it tells part of the story that John doesn't tell. And not that it's a different story, he just leaves out some detail, and I thought that would be interesting to read. It's a familiar story, and we've all heard it many times, and we tell it on Palm Sunday, a story of praise and joy and palm branches. It's really the high moment of glory before the crucifixion and death that will happen in 5 days. But when we look at the context of this story, can it really just be a joyful story of Jesus on a donkey followed by children and palm branches? For some time now, things have been bad between Jesus and the religious leaders of the Jews. In chapter 2 of John, we begin with Jesus cleansing the temple and breaking up the economic payback to temple leaders and the ability for people to, in essence, gouge the people, the common person, by their provision at the temple doors. Then we move on to chapter 3, where we find Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who visits Jesus, but he comes under cover of night so that he won't be seen by others. The word won't spread. In chapter 5, Jesus healed a lame man on the Sabbath and broke the Jewish law. And Jesus called God his Father and claimed the authority of God his Father. And that did not set well with the Jewish religious leaders. But recently, it has really escalated until there was an open search for an opportunity to kill Jesus. In chapter 10, they accused Jesus of blasphemy as a human making himself God. How dare you do that? They picked up stones and then they tried to arrest Jesus, but he escaped from their hands. Then in the 11th chapter, Lazarus died and was resurrected by Jesus. And the crowds grew and many believed because of this. But the Pharisees and chief priests realized that they had a problem. We read in John 11, verses 47 and 48, where the Pharisees said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." Well, Caiaphas responded to that and said, "It's better for one person to die for the people than for a whole nation to be destroyed." But at that, the Pharisees and the chief priests planned to find a way to have Jesus put to death. Then we have the story in Bethany, which we talked about last Sunday, which was in honor of Jesus and Lazarus, and the fact that Lazarus was still alive, and Mary anoints Jesus. And so we pick up the story here, reading, beginning with John 12, verse 9. "When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The next day, the crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So when the crowd that had been with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify, it was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding on the back of this donkey, and children and others wave palm branches in his honor. The people who followed Jesus, his disciples, the children, the curious ones, the crowds that came to see, they were all really grateful to Jesus for the miracles that he had done, for the raising of Lazarus, and for the hope that he gave to them that there would be answer to the pain and the struggle that they lived under. Hope that God had heard their cries and had sent them someone who would save them. They gathered around him and threw palm branches down and waved them in his honor, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." The Messiah had come. God would deliver them from Roman rule. They would be free. At long last, there was hope that was being realized in their presence. But for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey while palm branches were waved in his honor was actually a bold prophetic sign. Jesus was coming as king. It wasn't a passive thing that people said, and he didn't deny it. It just so happened that they kind of stuck him up on a donkey and it just happened to be there and was just sort of happenstance that the crowd gathered around him and shouted praises to him. No, it was intentional. He knew what he was doing. I mean, that story in Matthew I read where he said, "Go get that donkey and bring it," and that they will let that donkey come. It was a deliberate claim by Jesus that he was in fact the Messiah. Jesus was doing a dramatic reenactment of the words of Zechariah that we find in Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." The people were ecstatic. The king had come to save him. There was hope in the land of Israel. That passage was familiar to people. They knew it, and it would have played in their heads and in their minds. Secondly, as Jesus comes, he rides on a donkey, not a horse. Kings generally rode on a horse when they were going to war. Riding on a donkey was a sign of peace. Jesus entered Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. In their excitement over Jesus as Messiah, they paid little attention to the peace. Surely Jesus as king would proclaim victory and defeat the Romans. Jesus' dramatic entrance as the Prince of Peace was evident, but few recognized it. The religious leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees and the chief priests, they got the message though. They got the message that Jesus entered the city on a donkey in the tradition of Zechariah. And they all knew that passage of scripture and the sense in which the king had come. Their way of life and ordered existence was threatened. It could destroy everything that they had established. Everything that they had put in order. When you think about it, Jesus was a wanted man. Yet he entered in this bold and dramatic way, claiming that he is the king. The Messiah has come. The Prince of Peace is here. It's really an in-your-face bold statement that Jesus is here and to be seen, and that Jesus is king. It's a statement for peace and justice and following the ways and the methods of God. Jesus did not enter on a horse intentionally. Not just because Zechariah said he would come and he fulfilled that prophecy, but because he came as the Prince of Peace. And that was so well communicated as he came on a donkey into the city. It was a call for change and for new ways of being in the world, for following this Prince of Peace. It was actually a threat to Rome and to Herod and the system of oppression and control that was established in that country at that time. It's a threat to empire and the domination system of powers that is so pervasive in the world, was pervasive in their world, was rampant as the domination systems controlled people and took over. It's actually prevalent in our world as well. The domination system would like to control us. But Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey as the Prince of Peace is also a reminder that God is victorious and will overcome. A victory, though, that remembers and honors the oppressed, the poor, the prisoner, the homeless. A victory of overcoming impossible odds. And that the ways of the Prince of Peace are more able to enact real change in our world than the methods of war. Inherent in this story is an invitation not just to praise God, but to join with God, to be a people that care about the oppressed. To be a people that are willing to pray for Desiree and stand with those that are afraid to leave their houses. To care for those who find themselves in poverty. To care about those who have a difficult time finding jobs. To care about people that struggle. And to believe in God's victory over the impossible. That there is way forward. That we come to God with life as it is. Not our fixed up, prettified, I got my son to go to meeting clothes on kind of self. But I come just as I am. With the struggles, the raw places, the broken places. And give them to God. Trusting that God can do something. Not necessarily will it be what I want it to be, but that God is the God that we trust. And that God is at work changing our world. And so we believe in God's victory over the impossible. And we celebrate that God has renewed his warfare on behalf of the oppressed. And yet it is a warfare of not of fighting and of might, but of God's grace and compassion and living God's way on this earth. Jesus is King. He's King of the kingdom of God, of heaven on earth, where we live out the truth of God among us. Jesus has not come from some other worldly way with the only intention to bring peace to the soul. I know you're going to have a really hard time on this earth. It's going to really screw up. But I came to give you personal peace inside your spirit. Just deal with the crap. You'll be all right because someday you're going to go to heaven and it'll be sweet when you get there. But that God came to accompany us here. To be with us and to live in our lives and to work with us. He has come as the Prince of Peace into our broken world, just like he came into Jerusalem at a time that it was very broken. Jerusalem was a broken place with oppression, foreign rule, with corruption, with difficult times. The zealots, it's no wonder that the zealots were working hard to overthrow the government, to do something different, to change things, because things were difficult at best. And Jesus' triumphal entry into the brokenness of Jerusalem was an assertion of divine order. In the face of all that is broken, we are not powerless. God is present and at work. And so we join God at work in acting the divine order of the kingdom of God. Because everything that we do that is opposite of the system of domination is an act of bringing about divine order. Every act of kindness, every coming alongside another person, every prayer, every commitment to be faithful, to support others, every time that we stand and say a holy no, stand and say no, that is not the way to proceed. Every time we do something opposite of the denomination system, we enact the divine order of the kingdom of God. And it disrupts the oppression and allows goodness to seep into the cracks and widen them. You know, just like cracks in cement and the dirt grows up and the grass grows and it widens the cracks. As we create cracks and do good things, it widens those cracks. It befuddles things that are set in motion in the system of domination. We are part of the kingdom of God. Today, we are part of the kingdom of God, bringing heaven to earth today as we live out the ways and methods of the Prince of Peace. But let's not give up on praise. I call us to praise and to laugh and to sing and to love. Because those all break the grip of the powers. It befuddles them. They don't know what to do with that. I love the button that we've made. We're all out there, I think, that says practice goodness. Practice goodness because it changes things. It disrupts the domination powers that are at work all around us. And it breaks the grip of those powers. They are opposite of, to praise, laugh, love, and sing is opposite of the outcome that domination is seeking and counting on. They're thinking and hoping that we'll get mad and fight back. But to respond with love and with goodness. As Martin Luther King, I think, that said, the only thing that can overcome hate is love. So our waving palm branches and singing praises to Jesus enacts heaven on earth. It calls forth the divine order of the kingdom of God, even in the presence of other powers. So let us stand and take our full place as participants with the Prince of Peace, our Messiah. Let's listen as we enter into open worship and wait in the presence of God, who is here. Who is faithful to lead us, faithful to walk with us and show us how it is that we can follow Jesus' ways and methods and live out the kingdom of God, heaven on earth, today.